Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 5. Matthew, chapter 5. We'll read verses 43 through 48 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Matthew, chapter 5, verses 43 through 48. Matthew 5, verses 43 through 48. Ye have heard that it hath been said, Thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for our church. Thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the warm, friendly atmosphere we have here. Lord, thank you that so many times, each and every time our preacher stands here, you seem to open the Word of God to him and to us to teach us how to live a little bit more like you want us to. Father, do it again today. We are a needy people. Father, please, there are people here with great burdens. There are people here that don't know it yet, but they will have one soon. Lord, please be with us today. May our hearts be opened to your teaching. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
Many months ago, I was in a conversation with a child. I was, I think, visiting in a home, and this child had a box of Valentine candy. But I think it was way back in September or October. And they'd had it for quite some time. The child's parent had actually let the child buy the box of Valentine candy. And I watched him open it up and play with it a little. And, you know, all those, it was a chocolate candy, and the kind that have the little brown cup, you know, those little brown cups that the little individual piece of chocolate fit in it, and all those little pieces of paper were gone, so there were five or six pieces of candy that were rolling around inside that little box. And again, the child had bought it, and I asked the child, and the child, I said, well, where'd you get the candy? Because I was trying to make conversation. Said, well, I bought it to give away. I said, but you still have it. And I asked, well, why do you still have it? And this is what the child told me. Well, you can only get these once a year, and I wanted to keep this one. Now, here's the problem. I watched him bite into one of those pieces of candy, and I don't think it was supposed to be that hard to bite, nor was it to be that chewy, nor should it be chewed on that long. The contents had kind of dried up a bit. But his logic was, you can only get this one time a year. I got it to give away, but since I didn't think I could get any more, I thought I'd keep it, and he kept it for himself. Could I recommend something to all of us today? Folks, don't keep your heart for yourself. Don't keep your heart for yourself. If you're not careful, that heart was given to you by God to give away, and if you keep it for yourself, it's going to dry up. It's not going to accomplish the purpose for which it was created. And you know something else? Though that child was right in one aspect, in the sense that he said, you can only get these one time a year. Now, his thinking was, since you can only get this one time a year, you better hang on to it. But may I say to you that we can experience the love that Valentine box of candy pictured, you can experience that 365 days a year. Oh, you might be able to buy the box that's shaped like a heart only once or a few weeks out of the year. Hey, but that for which it stands can be experienced 24/7, 365 days a year. Here in the passage of Scripture that you read earlier from Matthew chapter 5, verse 43 and 44 particularly, you don't have to look at it. We read it once, but let me read it to you. It says, "Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." Jesus here is teaching and instructing about the subject of love. Now, our world is desperate for examples of true spiritual love. Desperate for it. Thinking of a couple of the married couples here in our church. Brother and Mrs. English have been married for 62 years. We need that kind of an example. Brother and Mrs. Peterson, again, this year celebrating 62 years of marriage, I believe. That's incredible. But you see, we live in a world that does not understand that kind of love today. It's sad. It is very sad. We have to go back to a previous generation to find the right examples of what love ought to be. If we're not careful, folks, that won't exist 50 years from now. This world seems to be full of hate and selfishness. Now, exactly what is Jesus teaching here? What is he saying here in Matthew 5, verse 43 and 44 and 45? Let me give you a couple of highlights of what we've already read together, but let me remind you of it. He says, "Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy." Now, Jesus said, you've heard some things. Now, let me tell you all something. Everything that you've heard is not true. Everything that you've heard about love is not true. Everything that you've been taught about love in our world, it's not true. See, Jesus is saying to them, when he says to these people, "Ye have heard," he's saying, the world says thus and so. And Jesus comes along and he corrects it and says, what the world is telling you, that's not so. He's saying, ye have heard. In other words, society's behavior teaches you this. But Jesus said, we're not to be like society. When he says, ye have heard, he means you've heard others justify their hate. But other than hating sin, we're to love people. And Jesus comes along and he qualifies it and says, he's basically saying, I don't care what you heard. If what you've heard is contrary to the word of God, what you heard is wrong. Somebody's lying to you. Somebody sold you a wooden nickel. And then he goes on and he begins to teach about love. He says, you've heard it's okay to hate your enemies, but Jesus said you're to love your enemies. Do you know something? It does not matter how many times I preach on the subject of loving your enemies. For some reason, we always need it. We just always need it. You know, there's some of you, this thing of loving your enemies, we ought to be getting past that by now. There's some of you that the frequency of the number of enemies that you seem to either be creating or people that you can't seem to get along with, some of that ought to be being done away with, at least some. But Jesus said, love your enemies. Then he said, bless them that curse you. And again, he's talking about loving them. Learn to love the people that curse you. So he said, love your enemies. He said, love them that curse you. Then he said, do good to them that hate you. We can reword it a bit there. He's saying, love them that hate you. You know, folks, and I think he mentions this as the scripture continues, but it's easy to love the people that love you. That's the easy part. Now, some of us don't even do that. We're not even in kindergarten level love. Because it's easy to love the people that love you, but he's saying here, you need to love your enemy, you need to love them that curse you, you need to love them that hate you and do good to them that hate you. He says, pray for them that use you. See, I'm just being used. Well, the Bible says you're to pray for them. And remember, the subject here, he's teaching them to love. He's saying you ought to even love them that use you. Then he says, love them or pray for them that persecute you. So he comes along and he says, let me tell you all something. You've heard some things about love, and those things are not true. You've heard that it's okay to hate people. But Jesus said that's not how it's supposed to be. He said you're to love your enemy, you're to love them that curse you, you're to love them that hate you, you're to love them that use you, you're to love them that persecute you. So Jesus is taking us to a new level of the subject of love. Hey, there are a lot of wonderful verses in the Bible about this subject, love. 1 John 5:3 says this, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous." You say, what's that mean? Love to God is expressed by obedience to God. When you say you love God but you won't obey God, God says your talk's cheap. God said, if you love me, you'll obey me. Hey, get this. He didn't only say that if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. He went on to say, and his commandments are not grievous. In other words, you willingly and happily obey him to prove your love. So for those of us that say, all right, I'll do it, God, God said, even your obedience doesn't prove your love. It is the happiness in your heart about obeying that takes you the full 9 yards of proving your love to God. Some people say, the Lord loveth the cheerful giver. Yes, indeed he does. Someone said, well, yeah, but he'll take money from any old grouch. And yes, he will, but I want to tell you something. The true depth of your tithing is not only the obedience to the tithe, but you're willing and happy about doing it. You want the full blessing of return on that investment. It better not just be done out of obedience, but it better be done out of obedience with a happy, willing heart. Matthew 22:37 tells us about love. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. You're supposed to love God. John 15:12 speaks to us about love. It says, my commandment that ye love one another as I have loved you. We're to love each other. The Bible says in Romans 13:9, another verse about love, it says, for this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. We're to love our neighbor. Now, we're to express love to God by obedience and happy obedience. We are to love God. We are to love one another. We are to love our neighbor. 1 John 4:21 says, and this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. We're to love our brother. We're to love our sister. Luke 6:27 says, but I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you. There it is again, love your enemy. Ephesians 5:25 says this, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Husbands, you're to love your wives. And I don't have time for all of this right now, but let me explain something to you. When the Lord told a husband to love his wife, he didn't say, you go ahead and love your wife with just common love. He said, you are commanded to love your wife as Christ loved the church. That is intense, deep, abiding, lasting, powerful, spiritual love. Not menial, petty, weak, beggarly love. But he does command a husband to love his wife. In Titus 2:4, it says that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, and to love their children. Here the Bible is saying that older women should be setting examples for younger women about loving their husbands. That means all you ladies have been married for some years. The young married couples in my church ought to be looking to you to figure out how they are to love their husbands. You should be an example of love to the younger women. 1 Peter 2:17 says, honor all men and love the brotherhood. That's talking about us loving one another as Christian brothers. Now, February 14, what we call Valentine's Day, is this, I think, is that Thursday of this week? Not many days away. What is it? It's a day of love. I'm glad we celebrate days of love. Now, I couldn't do the research and figure out what Valentine's Day is all about, and I'm sure there's something connected there that's not so good. But the part about it that I like is the part, because we're talking about love and our nation, our people in our nation need to figure out what love is really all about. Oh, I got to tell you something. I was doing some shopping, and at Valentine's Day, I get my granddaughter a little something, and then I get each one of my daughters or daughter-in-laws a little something. They haven't all got them yet, but I've already shopped, and I pick that out, and I get something for moms, and if there's any money left over, I get something for my wife. But my wife was off somewhere doing something, and I was gathering up all the things that I get for all the ladies in my life, and I was over there, and they had all these stuffed things everywhere. Now, a lot of neat little things, you know, and I'm over there and I'm looking at all this stuff, and this little bus kid comes running through, and somebody that comes to our church on our bus ministry, and I watch this little guy come flying through, and then I see a mom come flying through looking for the one that just came flying through. This little boy put a screeching halt on it, and he looked around the corner and he said, "Mom, that's my preacher." I said, "Hi, ma'am, how you doing?" And they were standing there. I just reach up to squeeze the hand of this gorilla. There's this gorilla, and on his paw it says, you know, "Push here." So, you know, I knew he was going to say something. So this little boy makes this screeching halt, and he said, "That's my preacher." And I'm saying hi to this lady. I just squeezed this big gorilla's hand. And all of a sudden, this lady's looking at me, and this gorilla that I just squeezed, this gorilla starts singing, "Wild thing, you make my heart sing." And I'm thinking, oh, my goodness. You know, holy Joe here. Now, really, if I would have known it was going to start singing that song, I would have waited until they left. We have all sorts of mechanisms to express love. We use candy at this time of the year to express love. And there are hearts everywhere in our decorations to remind us of love. There are cards that remind us of love, and stuffed animals that are tokens of love, and decorations promoting love, and gifts to reaffirm our love. Yesterday, we had a couples retreat here in our church, and it was very sweet. After 3 hours, you look out, and there were couples that were weeping. There were couples all over this altar, and they were praying together and spending special time together. Last night, we had a Valentine banquet. At that banquet, we were talking about the subject of love, and why? Because we celebrate love in a special way here this week, it being Valentine. Valentine's Day is about hearts. It's about love. It's about giving. It's about others. It's about caring. It's about making people happy with this thing of love. And we know that love is the theme of Christianity. But we should not have this love only on Valentine's Day. It shouldn't only be 1 week. I believe this. I believe the subject of Valentine's ought to be celebrated 365 days a year. You know, we could celebrate giving 365 days a year. We could celebrate the needs or be concerned about the needs of others 365 days a year. We could care for hurting hearts 365 days a year. We could be concerned about the hearts of others 365 days a year. I call my lesson this morning, I call my sermon this morning this, Valentine's Day, 365 days a year. You see, I'm not talking about 365 days of the decor. I'm not talking about, ladies, don't get your hopes up. I'm not talking about 365 days worth of getting flowers or getting candy. I'm talking about celebrating and keeping our eyes focused in on this subject called love 365 days a year. Let me see if I can very practically apply this thought 365 days a year. You know what we're guilty of? We are guilty of deciding that we will talk about the resurrection of Jesus Christ on what they call Easter, and then we'll ignore that the rest of the year. I believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ 365 days a year. We seem to think that we can celebrate the birth of the Christ child at Christmas time, and that's adequate. I happen to think that the birth of the Christ child is a big deal 365 days a year. I believe, you know, we'll have Father's Day, and we think one day a year we can be good to our fathers, and that's adequate. No, I think we ought to be good to our fathers 365 days a year and good to our mothers 365 days a year. We want to take equality, shove it into a day. We want to be patriotic on July the 4th and then turn our backs on our country the rest of the year, but we want to be considered patriotic. No, I think we have to be loyal to our country 365 days a year. And I think this thing called Valentine's Day, again, I don't know all the history of it, but I know what I get out of it. It reminds me of the doctrine of the love of God and the things of God and how us Christians ought to behave. I believe that we ought to be concerned about love 365 days a year. Let me start here. Number one, I think this. I think you ought to give God your heart 365 days a year. 365 days a year. The Bible says in Proverbs 23:26, my son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. Wow, who is this? This is God saying to his children, I want you to give me your heart. You know what some of you do? You're like that little boy that I told you about. God gave you a heart. You have a heart. He gave it to you to give away, but you kept it. What's going on in your heart is getting all dried up and stale. You need to give your heart to God. God is asking for your heart. He says in John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. So you need to understand. A way to express your love to God is not buying him a box of Valentine candy. It is you obey him. You obey his word in your heart. God wants your heart. And the way that he monitors how much of your heart you've given him is how much of your obedience have you given him. God wants your heart. God wants your trust. God wants your loyalty. And get this, please. He wants it 365 days a year. You see, there are some here, you're willing to give God a portion of your heart 52 days a year. You say, where do you get that number? Sunday. Somehow we have a misconception of what being spiritual is. You're not spiritual because you came to church today. You say, I go to church 52 weeks out of the year. Well, then there's a certain amount of spirituality achieved there, but if you'll figure out how many days there are in a year, which is 365, and if you're only giving God 52 of them, you don't rank real high. Because you ought to be giving God your heart 365 days a year. You see, God wants your love, and that love is achieved and expressed through obedience to him. Hey, we're talking about obedience on the outside of you and obedience on the inside of you. Hey, God wants internal, that inside obedience as well. Hey, listen, wonder if we could do this. Wonder if you could ask God to rate your love for him. Wonder if God could, on a scale of 1 to 10, if 10 is the greatest love that a human could have for God, and if God came to you and God said, I'm going to rate your love for me on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the greatest love and 1 being the most anemic, weak, petty love that a human could have, where would you rate? Think about it for a second. Where would you rate on a scale of 1 to 10 in regard to love for your God? Now, a few of you would lie to yourself. You've got this image of how powerfully spiritual you are. We're not talking about your image. We're talking about your obedience to that book. That's what deems your expression of love for your God. I think there's some people in here, you would say, well, Brother Owens, I rate about a 3. Could I encourage you to do something? I'd like you to be shooting toward that 10 mark, but if I can't get anything else out of you, could we get you to increase to a 4 if you're at a 3? Say, I'm about a 5. Then could I get you to go to a 6 today? Say, I'm about a 7. Could I get you to go to an 8? There's some people in here. If you wanted on the scale of 1 to 10, if you wanted to love your God, you could step up 2 or 3 steps today. You say, how? Just pick where you're disobeying God. And I doubt that there's anybody in here that is so spiritually uneducated that you don't know what could change about your life. Now, I could take about 5 minutes and give you some things. I'm not going to do it today. I'm going to give you plenty in the next week or so. I'm going to preach to you and preach the stuffings out of you. But this morning, tell you the truth, most of you know of something that you're not doing for God, a place where you're not obeying God, and you can make a step up from a 4 to a 5 on the scale of loving God if you wanted to. I don't have to throw a fit and tell you what you're not doing or what you should be doing that you're not. I don't have to tell you what you ought to get out of your life. In most cases, you know what needs to be fixed. Why don't you decide today you'll love God 365 days a year? Give Him your heart. Hey, let's celebrate Valentine's 365 days a year. Let me give you another area where we can celebrate this love, this Valentine's 365 days a year. Give your dad your heart. Give your father your heart. The Bible says in Luke 1:17, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, the disobedient, the wisdom of the just to make needy a people prepared for the Lord. Parents, let me tell you something, and I want you to listen as I apply this. But parents, a key to child rearing is this. You need to have your child's heart. You need to ask yourself, do I have my child's heart? But I'll say this and I'm going to move on. Parents, I wonder if your children would feel like they have your heart. Say, I want my child's heart. Does your child feel like they have mom and dad's heart? But let me go back to this thing here. I say to you, we ought to be expressing this love that's celebrated at this time of the year. I think we ought to be expressing it toward our fathers. Every little boy in here, every boy in here, and for the most part, I realize that most of the children sitting in here are older than this, but listen, if you're 4 years old and you're in grade school over here, you boys, you little boys, you look up here at Brother Owens, you got to give your heart to your daddy. Give your heart to your dad. Let your dad help you. Let your dad love you. Every little girl in here, every grade school girl in here, you got to learn to give your heart to your dad. One of the best ways to prepare for marriage is for a girl to be taught to give her heart to her daddy so she'll know how to give her heart away to her husband someday. That relationship is very dear and it's very sweet and it's supposed to be. And parents, don't abuse the heart of the child. When a child dares to give their heart away, you be careful how you treat that heart. But I say to you, we got to give our hearts to our dads. You teenage boys, give your heart to your dad. Give your heart to your dad. Listen to your dad. You teenage girls, give your heart to your dad. And let me tell you, I tried to figure out where to insert what I'm about to say into the sermon. I couldn't find any good place. Well, I'll tell you what the average person does. Well, me and my dad, there's no way there's going to be a relationship. You know, he forsook us or he's an evil, wicked, vile man. And here's what the average person does. Because some key relationship in your life has not been a good relationship, and you have a hard time giving your heart to that one person, you have retracted your heart from everybody. And I've got news for you. That's not real good thinking. You say, my dad's hateful, my dad hates me, my dad's a drunk, my dad's a murderer, my dad, you know, whatever. And so because of that, we have decided it's okay to retract our heart from everybody. Now I say to you, if you say, I don't know how I would give my heart to my dad, but I think you ought to love them, whether or not you even respect how they behave, there's still to be a love there. But I say to you, hey, give your heart to your dad. Some of you grown adults, I just wish I could help you to make sure you don't make the mistake of a lifetime. Some of you grown adults, your daddy's still alive. Some of you need to love your dad. And again, I'm not saying everything about your dad is good or great, or I'm not justifying any of his behavior. I don't even know your dad. But I think you ought to love your dad. You say, but he hurt me. I guess you missed all the scripture that I gave you at the beginning of the service. You heard it's okay to hate somebody that hurt you. But Jesus came along and said, but I say unto thee, love your enemies. Love them that despitefully use you and persecute you. Love them. He's not saying you have to agree with them. He's saying you have a heart. Don't retract it. Don't let it dry up. Use it to love. On a scale of 1 to 10, how do you love your dad? How do you love your dad? Let's go on. Another way to have Valentine's 365 days a year is this. Love your mom. Proverbs 23:25 says, thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. It's talking about having a love and bringing joy to your mother's heart. All you boys in grade school, the Brother Owens recommend that you give your heart to your mama. You love your mom. Every young lady, every girl here, every one of you that are in Martinsburg Christian Academy, or you're still in elementary school, in whatever school you attend, you love your mom. Love your mom. Give your heart to your mom. Probably the biggest mistake made in child rearing today is that we do not have the hearts of our children. We live in the same home with them, but we don't have their heart. We give them all sorts of rules, regulations, and guidelines, but we don't have their heart. We're not even trying to get their heart. We're trying to get an obedience without a heart. And I realize we need the obedience whether the heart is there or not, but I'm going to tell you something. If you have the heart, the obedience comes much more easily. Every one of the boys and girls in this auditorium, whether you're here in the balcony or on the lower floor, give your heart to your mom. Love your mother. You teenagers, love your mom. Every teenage girl in this place, you need to learn to love your mom. Love your mom. And just so you know, I just seen a girl roll her eyes when I said that. I can't believe that. And it's a good girl. It's a Christian school girl. My, I can't believe that kind of behavior. There is obviously a major problem when someone says to love your mom. By the way, a good mom, wholesome, decent. Got a big problem, don't you, young lady? Whew. My, now she's laughing. That just breaks my heart. Somebody's got a good, decent, wholesome mom could roll their eyes about, just all I said was love your mom. Something really bad wrong going on inside somebody. My, that is dangerous. You teenage girls need to learn to love your mom. Learn to love your mom. Is your mother always right? No. Moms are not always right. Dads are not always right. But it's always right for you to love them. It's always right for you to love them. You know, there wouldn't be so much tension even when there are disagreements between people if love were being expressed while there were disagreements. But somehow disagreements spurs up hatred. It's too bad it's that way. You teenage boys, you love your mom. You love your mom. Last evening at the Valentine banquet, we were sitting on the platform. As we sat on the platform there, our guest speaker and his wife were beside us, Pastor and Mrs. Wolverton. In the afternoon sessions of the couples retreat, I had made a statement. I taught a lesson called Get Close, talking about people becoming close. You see, in the lesson, I taught this. In the lesson, I taught that we spend time together, but we're not truly close. There are people can ride in a car together, but they're not close. There are people that they go places together, but they're not close. I said there are parents that actually spend time with their children, but they're not close. That night, later on, what happened is this. That pastor's wife, she said to me, she said, Brother Owen, she said, I learned a lot of things today, but I was listening to you talk about one of the main problems we have with our children. It's not a matter of, she said, I used to ask myself this question, how is it that good parents who are faithful to church, that love God, Good parents start struggling so much with their kids. They come to me, and this pastor's wife said, moms will come to me and say, I spend time with them. I do all sorts of things with them. And she said, it occurred to me today, they've got everything in place, but they're not truly, truly close to that child. We've got all the elements in place, but the one thing that's not lining up is the heart. Hey, let me ask you a question on a scale of 1 to 10. You teenagers, everybody here, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you love your mom? How much would she say that you love her? See, we ought to give God our heart 365 days a year. We ought to love our fathers 365 days a year and love our mothers 365 days a year. Yeah, husbands, you ought to be giving your wife your heart 365 days a year. The Bible says in Colossians, the Bible says in Proverbs 31:11, it says, the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need for spoil. Wives, you ought to give your husband your heart. Does your husband's heart safely trust in you? Is he so happy with you he has no need for the spoils of life? Let him see that you need him. Let him see that you admire him. Meet his needs, not just out of duty, but out of love. We ought to be giving, a wife ought to give her love and give her heart to her husband 365 days a year. You say, well, he's not always right. I'm not talking about always being right. I'm talking about love. I'm talking about love. There's no human being that's always right. None of us qualify for always right, but we're all supposed to love. We're to love continually. We're to love our enemies. We're to love those that persecute us 365 days a year. Husband, if I ask you if you loved your wife, on a scale of 1 to 10, what would your answer be? Wives, if I ask you if you loved your husband on a scale of 1 to 10, where would you rank? Say, I'm about a 5, then it's time to turn it up a notch. It's time to increase that love. The Bible teaches us that men are to love their wives. It says in Colossians 3:19, husbands, love your wife and be not bitter against them. Men are commanded to love their wives. And not just so he can say that he did, but that she knows that she's loved. See, marriage is not a business contract. It's a deep relationship that is bound by love. So here, God is saying to me, I'm to love my wife. My wife is to love me. And I'm not to be bitter against my wife. But, you know, the average husband and wife, on a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being wonderful and a 1 being terrible, where do you rate? Where do you rate in your love for your spouse? Say, oh, I'm about a 3. Wait, isn't that tragic? Shouldn't that be increased? You say, well, how do I do that? Well, if you've been loving them 50 days out of the year, maybe you ought to increase and be striving for 365 days a year. Maybe you need to increase your efforts. I kind of feel sorry for some of you because there are some married people in here. The only time in the year a greeting card is exchanged is Valentine's. And you had to mark out to your dear wife and get the one that said to grandma because you got there the day after Valentine's and all the good cards were gone. You waited until it go on sale. But we ought to be expressing that love 365 days a year. Husbands ought to love their wives 365 days a year. Wives ought to love their husbands 365 days a year. You ought to love your mom 365 days a year and love your dad 365 days a year and love your God 365 days a year. We didn't just set aside a week to talk about love, and so the other 51 weeks out of the year, it's unimportant. We don't celebrate the resurrection of Christ just at Easter. We celebrate it 365 days a year. We don't celebrate that the fact that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin just 1 week of the year, but 51 other weeks of the year. We're not to be patriotic on July 4th, but we're to be patriotic on July 1st and July 2nd and July 3rd and July 5th and the 6th and the 7th and the 8th and the 9th and the 10th, and we're to love 365 days a year. It is something that we are to put much effort into, and our mates ought to know that we love them 365 days a year. Hey, give your spiritual leaders your heart 365 days a year. The Bible says in Hebrews 13:17, obey them that have rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that they must give an account, that they must do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. We need to let our spiritual leaders have our hearts, and spiritual leaders ought to give their hearts to those that follow and help them to serve. I could recommend something. Some of the people that are bus captains in our church bus ministry, your ministry would increase if you'd give your bus director, Brother Bajent, your heart. Don't make him be on trial continuously with you. You always know better than him. You always have a better idea than him. If you just give him your heart and love him like you ought, things will go better for you. Those of you that serve here on this church staff and you help over in our school, be a wise thing for you to give your heart to the principal of the school. There's some that have it. There's some that believe it or not, it's obvious. They don't think anybody knows it, but their heart's still. I can tell you somebody right now, I think their heart is almost dried up inside them. It's dried up. They just kept it. They're not accepting the leadership. Mind, you won't get anywhere that way. Those of you that work in the youth department, give your heart to the leadership. Why? Because when you give that heart, it wasn't given to you to keep for yourself. God did not give you love for you. We're so stingy. Give your love away. Those of you that work with Brother Nash in the music ministry, we have a great music ministry, but I'll tell you what, we'll have a greater music ministry if those that help him put their heart into it and give their heart to that leader. Those of you that work in King's Kids, you ought to give your heart to the leadership. And though I don't desire anything for myself, I'll tell you why some of you are distant from me. You won't give your heart to your pastor. I'm not trying to get anything for me. I'm just trying to help you. Hey, just take the term spiritual leadership and decide on a scale of 1 to 10. A 1 being raunchy, a 10 being fabulous. To what degree have you given your heart to the spiritual leadership in your church? I really don't even know any of them. Well, you rank yourself wherever you belong. Let me say this. Students, give your heart to your teacher. You know, students and teachers who care about each other stand a better chance of success in learning. That's just all there is to it. Teachers who give their hearts to students can reproduce students that can give their hearts to teachers. Hey, Sunday school teacher, if you give that heart to those students, if they see your heart and they see you care and they see that you love and they see that you're truly interested, you may be more apt to get a heart given back so that they might learn. Tender hearts are easier to train. Tender hearts are easier to teach. On a scale of 1 to 10, teachers, have you given your hearts to your students? To what degree? On a scale of 1 to 10, student, at whatever level, have you given your heart to your teacher? You know, those of you ladies that sit in Mrs. Lawrence's Sunday school class, have you given your heart to your teacher? Do you truly love that teacher? You ladies that sit in Mrs. Kane's class or Mrs. Young's class or Mrs. Donnelly's class, those classes that are specially designed for ladies, do you really love your teacher? You go in there to criticize. Well, what is it? 365 days a year. The Lord makes it very, very clear. This thing of love, we're not just to set a day aside, it's celebrated. It's all the time. All the time. Of course, the Bible teaches that we're to give our love to other Christians. Colossians 2, verse number 2, it said that their hearts might be conformed, being knit together in love and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledge in the mystery of God and God the Father and of Christ. And it's talking about our loving one another as Christians 365 days a year. Do you know that two people in the same church could have a disagreement, but it never turn into a war, never have rude words, never talk about each other behind their back? You say, what's the key? That you love them. That you love them. Two people could have an opinion difference, but love will overcome a bad attitude about opinion. Love keeps people from wanting to hurt each other. Love desires reconciliation. Listen. A few of you need to wake up, stop staying up and watch TV all night long so you can't stay awake in church. Listen. If you don't want to reconcile with somebody, a brethren, somebody in the church, you don't love them. Not like you're supposed to. There's an absence of love in your life. Love wants reconciliation. Love doesn't want there to be a separation. Love wants people to enjoy the presence of one another. We're to love the brethren. I'll tell you a quick story, and won't be long. I'll be done here. Some of you were able to be at the Valentine banquet last night, and I told a story about one of our good men, a young man by the name of Alan Cohn. And Alan and his dear wife sat right over here. Alan is... Last night, I told about how Alan grew up. Alan was born in the harsh jungles of the Philippines. When Alan was born, his mother passed away within months. After that happened, Alan's father forsook him and left him. In other words, mom died and dad ran off. And Alan was virtually left to be reared on the streets. Until he was 6 years old, Alan was what they would have called a street urchin. We're not talking about like being on the streets of America. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about jungle cities, nasty, third world country, and an area all the way. To the age of six, that's how he grew up. He was adopted by a Catholic priest, and through the whole process of everything that happened to him, he was hurt, he was beaten, he was abused, he was misused. When we were talking to Alan, Alan said as a boy, as he was growing up all the way through, he kept asking himself, does anybody really love me? Does anybody really care about me? Does anybody really love me? He ended up in Anchorage, Alaska, and then from Anchorage, Alaska, he came here as he traveled with the Catholic priest that had adopted him. He finally ended up in Berkeley County, West Virginia. His wife was working at a local establishment, and a good man from our church said to that woman, said, you ought to get yourself and your family into church, and began to influence Becky, that's Alan's wife. Said, you need to get in church. The next thing you know, Becky was in church and Alan came along with her. Alan, the boy whose mama died at just a couple months after his birth, who dad forsook him, who ran the streets and ate out. Hey, just ate whatever he could find. One day, they came to church at the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. And Alan realized God loved him. And Alan realized that this church was a church full of people that would love him. And he walked an aisle right over here. Got on his knees and trusted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. Now he and Becky are a respected part of our church. They've got a son, I think, the third or fourth grader at Martinsburg Christian Academy. That's what churches are supposed to be like. That's how it's supposed to be. not just for 1 week revival out of the year. There are some churches, they'll put on the dog for 1 week out of the year. No, 52 weeks a year, we're to care about lost souls, we're to love the people that need to be loved, we're to help the people that need help. It's not a game. It's not a religious front or a religious show. 365 days a year, the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church, we're to love one another, and we're to love the lost, and we're to love the fallen, and we're to help people. Not just the week of Valentine's. 365 days a year. So what's it supposed to be like? 365 days a year, we give our hearts to our God through obedience. 365 days a year, we're to love our dads. 365 days a year, we're to love our moms. And 365 days a year, a wife is to love her husband. 365 days a year, a husband is to love his wife. 365 days a year, we love the spiritual leadership that God has placed in our life. 365 days a year, students and teachers should love one another. 365 days a year, we should give our love to the lost and our love to the fallen or our love to the needy. But you know what we'll do? We'll give our love to something else. We'll give our love to some rock star or some movie star. Somebody that's popular on TV. Some professional athlete. They get loyalty, they get love, they get worship. The Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. I'll say this to a couple of our young people and some of the adults. I'm telling you, some of you, you're making mistakes in your so-called dating life. Say, why? You should never give your heart, young people, you should never give your heart to a boy if his heart is not right with God, if his heart is not right with his parents, if his heart is not right with his pastor. What are you doing? If your boyfriend's heart is not right with your pastor, I'll promise you, there's some problem. Hey, if your girlfriend's heart is not right with her mom, not right with her dad, not right with her God, if your girlfriend's heart is not right with the pastor, there is a problem. And it's funny how there are so many people saying amen. I hope those of you that are not using good sense with your relationships realize there's a church full of people here trying to tell you, the preacher's telling you the truth. You're going to mess up your life. So we'll turn around and we'll give our heart to people that don't care about God like they should, and don't care about their mom like they should, and don't care about their dad like they should, and don't care about their teachers like they should. What are you doing? You should give your heart to your God, to your mom, to your dad. You should give your heart to your husband or to your wife or to your spiritual leaders or your teachers, and you go find somebody that won't give their heart to their teacher, won't give their heart to their leaders, won't give their heart to their mom, won't give their heart to their dad, and you want to give them your heart. Are you crazy? They're going to use it, abuse it, and ruin it. And you think you got the corner on the market of love. Wake up, young man. Wake up, young lady. Somebody that won't give their heart to the right things and you think that's the prime person to give your heart to? Wake up! And lady, you find a young man that's on fire for God that loves the Lord. Loves his mama, loves his daddy, loves a preacher, loves the teachers, loves his youth director, not the two-faced boy. Young man, you find a young lady that loves her mama and loves her daddy and loves her preacher and loves her church, loves her God, loves what's right. Those kind of people you can trust with that heart. I'll tell you over and over and again, we're taught to give our hearts to the right people. We'll turn around and do the exact opposite. We'll give our hearts to the wrong things. What you got there? Valentine candy? What's in your box? My candy. Hard, stale, brittle. Is that what you got going on in your heart? Is it hard, stale? But it'll 365 days a year, let's give our hearts to the right things. Let's not let our love be stolen by the wrong things. If you're not saved here today, God loves you. God loves you. He wants to help you to get born again. You say, I like this. I like what I've been told today and what I've been taught today. What you need to do is you need to let the Heavenly Father move into your life and save you. We're not talking about religion now. We're talking about, number one, you're a sinner. Number two, there's a penalty for your sin, and that is death in hell for all eternity, separated from God. Number three, Jesus paid that penalty with His death, His burial, and His resurrection. You need to turn to Him and ask Him to forgive you of your sins, come into your heart, and be your personal Savior. So we're not talking about you joining a church, or you giving some money, or you turning over a new leaf. We're talking about a thing called salvation. Salvation that came from the heart of God because He loved you. We're not talking about religion. We're talking about salvation through Jesus Christ. You say, I believe in God. Well, I'd like to introduce you to His Son. Because it is through His Son you'll be born again. Well, I believe there's a God up there. I'm glad that God had a Son named Jesus Christ. And that God that you said you believe in made a plan, and that plan was through His Son. We have so many religious people say, I know there's a God. That's right. That very God you say you believe in, He created a plan through His Son. His Son. We live in a religious world. We need a world that understands Jesus. Not just the existence of an eternal Godhead. Indeed, there He is, and He's got a Son. And that Son is Jesus Christ. He was exalted. He died for you, was buried for you, and resurrected for you. If you've never trusted that Son as Savior, you're not saved and you're not on your way to heaven. So I'm going to heaven because I believe in God. No, you're not. The Bible teaches that the devil believes in God. Belief in God does not get you to heaven. Trusting God's Son gets you to heaven. It's the only way. It's not the Baptist way. It's not the Catholic way. It's God's way through His Son.